guessing we were going through Ephesians, maybe your mind drifted to many of the wonderful passages.
当我说我们要来讲以弗所书的时候，可能你们在想的是以弗所书里面有很多非常美好的这个经句。
As the teacher, my thoughts went to this passage.
但是作为一个老师，我首先想到的是这段经文。
Because it's not the easiest one to teach, in a way that everyone can understand and be happy about.
这是不是一段非常容易教导的一段经文，并且听众也能够理解，并且能够接受。
So this morning I want to start with just a few acknowledgments.
所以今天我开始之前，先有几点声明在先。
The first is that even this passage in verse 32 says that this passage is a mystery.
所以第一点是，就是这个三十二节里面说了，他说这是一个极大的奥秘，所以我要提醒大家，这是一个极大的奥秘。
So we know that there are some difficult things to understand.
这个极大的奥秘就是说，这个不是那么容易理解。
The second thing is a disclaimer.
第二个是一个有预先的声明。
You need to know that the whole week I was preparing this sermon, my wife has been traveling, and so I was by myself.
另外就是这个星期，当我在准备这个讲章的时候，这个星期我太太是一直在外面出差，所以我没有她的，没有她的观点，全是我自己。
So that's probably not the best system of accountability for this passage.
这可能不是一个最好的状况。
The third is that the role of both women and the role of wives today, especially, is a very hot topic.
第三点就是妇女和妻子的地位角色这个问题是一个热点话题。
There's a lot of different viewpoints.
有不同的观点。
And so I'm going to do the best that I can to reflect what I believe that the scripture is saying, both in the context of this letter to the Ephesians and our context today.
所以我要做的就是尽我自己的能力来解释我认为圣经的意义，并且是根据上下文的意思和我们今天的应用。
But if you end up landing in a different place than me, and you can support that by scripture, there's room for differing opinions.
不过如果你有不同的看法，但是你的看法呢也是能够有圣经的支持，那这个也没有问题啊，说明我们的不同的观点呢其实有一点余地的。
As with every passage of Scripture, but in particular this passage of Scripture, context is very important.
对于解释圣经，特别是解释今天这段圣经和上下文的关联非常非常的重要。
So the first thing that we need to do is to return to the context of what Paul was saying in the submission, what submission looks like in our community.
所以我们首先要上下文里来看，保罗在这里讲的顺服，在上下文里头，在我们这个群体之间到底是什么意思？
Okay, now we're ready. So by way of review, in the first part of Ephesians 5, Paul emphasized a couple of different things that are important to today's context.
所以我们先来回顾一下。
First is in Ephesians 5:18, where he reminded us that we needed to be filled with the Spirit, meaning under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
第一个是在第五章第十八节，保罗说要被，我们要被圣灵充满，我们要在神的引导之下。
The second was this context that I would say it kind of sets the rules of engagement for what we learn in this passage as well. So three things that we need to remember. So the first is that we all need to remember that first we submit to the Holy Spirit. And then we come to church as the gathering of God's people, and we submit to one another, meaning that we agree to be under the influence of one another as believers in the body of Christ. And as a third step, we learn what it means to submit relationally within the roles that God has ordained for the household. So as we move this week and a little bit of next time that we're together next week, it's important for us to understand that what Paul is asking us to do is to submit to different roles. He's not asking us to submit to different value that people have. Or different abilities that people have. Or in general, just to gender or age or status.
也不是顺服根据这个性别、年龄或者社会地位。
And this was modeled by Jesus himself. Remember that as the Son of God, Jesus submitted himself to the Father in the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and then his ascension.
我们要记住主耶稣，他以子的身份来到。
For our own purposes this morning, in this passage, is talking about the way of submission that has been modeled by Jesus.
So,
and then a little bit later, the way of leading that is modeled by the Father.
丈夫的带领,
it's by these two examples that set the manner by which we need to understand all of the terminology and all of the expectations that are in this passage.
主耶稣作为父神，他们这两个榜样是我们今天来理解这个顺服的这个原则和期望的一个最基本的出发点。
Though this is a difficult topic, we need to strive to understand it first within the context of what Paul was wanting to teach the church in Ephesus.
这是不是特别容易的一段经文，首先我们要理解保罗教导在以弗所教会当时的情况下。
We need to be careful not just to pluck this out of its context and then say that it's meaning something in our own culture, in our own time. That Paul was not trying to communicate.
有时候我们也要小心，不要把这个其中的一段文字或者一段话语把它拿出来，就说啊，这个对我们今天是这样的。其实保罗也许并没有在讲将来的事情，可能是他只是在讲当时的一些情况。
So because many of us are associated with the university in here, first we need to do our homework before we understand what the meaning of the passage is.
做家庭作业做研究，然后才能够更好的理解这些经文到底的意义是什么。
But even as we do that, we may end up today still with a little bit of disagreement, and that's okay.
哪怕我们都这样做了，在今天结束以后，可能我们仍然会有不同的观点，这样其实也是没有问题的。
Let me start by giving a little bit of what I call weight to biblical exegesis.
我首先要讲一个这个就是解释圣经的一个重要的点。
What I mean by that is that first off we have to understand what this passage meant in its own context.
首先我们需要理解的是这一段经文在当时这个情景下它的意思是什么。
And then we have to kind of cross this cultural bridge to find out what does this mean in our context today.
然后呢第二步我们要考虑到怎么样我们能够跨过这个文化的桥梁来看这段经文今天对我们意味着什么。
But in the end, what it says here on the slide is that what we claim to be true, biblically true, must be able to be true for all ages, throughout all cultures, in all times. Otherwise, it's just a collection of our preferences.
这是我们解经的一个非常非常重要的原则是，如果这是圣经真理的话，那这个真理是适用于不同的时代、不同的文化、不同的年代。
Honestly, when you just
否则的话，就是一个个人的爱。
When you first just read this passage in our culture today, it can seem a little bit shocking.
所以如果你按照今天的文化来看我们今天读的这段圣经，可能会觉得非常的惊奇。
And sometimes I think, well, wow, even the Christian biblical view of marriage can even, to me, seem like it might become a barrier to others who might want to believe in Jesus.
有时候啊，这个圣经的婚姻观甚至有可能来变成一种阻碍那些人本来想要接受耶稣但是因为这个圣经的婚姻观来成为他们接受耶稣的一个阻碍
Sometimes for the non-believer the view of this passage just doesn't seem right
对于那些不信的人来说还觉得这个圣经讲的是错的
But sometimes for those of us in the faith and in the church this passage just doesn't seem possible
但是对我们很多人我们是信徒我们在教会但是觉得、啊、这个教要照着这个教导来做几乎是不可能的
But that's not always the case、
啊、但是不一定一定是这样子的
Very early in our years in China I developed a close personal relationship with one of my Chinese teachers、
我在中国早年的时候、和一个中国人、中国的教师、成为好朋友
She taught us as foreigners in the language department, and her husband was teaching something in one of the science departments of the university.
她是教我们那些外国专家语言。她丈夫呢是在另外一个系里头教什么科学。
And they had been married for a few years and had a young daughter, and as many of us in our marriages have experienced over time, ran into some difficulties of understanding. Exactly how their role ought to play out with one another.
他们已经结婚了有几年时间，然后有一个女儿，但是就像其他的夫妻一样，在这个过程中间，他们也会碰到一些问题，他们也不是非常的清楚彼此之间在婚姻里应当担当什么样的角色。
And though they were not believers at the time. We had some opportunities to meet with them and read through the Bible in part and also to share the gospel with them.
虽然他们还不是信徒但是我们在这之前曾经跟他们一起、跟他们一起查经一起读圣经的话语。
So we invited this couple over to our apartment in the Zhuangjialou and for a dinner and to continue our discussion.
所以我和我太太就把这对夫妻邀请到我们那个专家楼的房间里来请他们吃晚饭然后一起来继续有关婚姻的讨论
And after dinner we began to discuss the Bible and interestingly this passage came to the surface.
吃完晚饭以后，我们就开始讨论圣经。非常有意思的是，我们今天读的这段圣经，就变成一个讨论点。
And with a little fear and trembling from our side, we read through this passage, and I honestly didn't know how it would be received by our friends.
其实我当时心里还是有点上下这个上下不安，我不知道这个神的话语这段圣经会对他们有什么样的影响，他们是怎么会接受，怎么样来看待这段圣经。
But for them, they felt like it began to define the very issues that they were feeling in their marriage.
但是对他们来说，他们觉得这段圣经里讲的话，正是他们想要寻找的婚姻的一些关系的一些基本点。
And at one point, the husband looked deeply into the eyes of his bride and asked a totally loaded question.
然后过了一会儿，这个丈夫盯着这个妻子的眼睛，然后问了一个非常严肃也不是非常容易回答的一个问题。
He said, "If we become Christians, will you submit to my leadership as your husband?"
他的问题是，如果我们成为基督徒，你会顺服我作为丈夫的带领？
I was amazed at his candor.
我对他的坦率觉得非常的惊奇。
And I was a little scared of her response.
所以我也很害怕这个太太的回应会是什么。
But her answer was absolutely perfect.
但是他太太的回应，他的回答是非常非常的完美。
With just as serious of a tone,She replied to her husband.
她以同样非常严肃的口气这样来回答她的丈夫。
She said, "I don't know."
她说，我不知道。
But if we become Christians, will you love me like Jesus loved the church?
但是如果我们成为基督徒，你会让基督爱教会一样爱我吗？
The next night, they both trusted Christ.
第二天晚上，他们两人。
It's the only time that Ephesians 5 was an evangelistic passage in all my years of ministry.
这个在我传道的这么多年里头，这个以弗所书第五章是唯一的这么一次，它变成一段传福音，用来传福音的一段经文。
This story serves as a good reminder that even though it's a difficult passage to understand, it sets a good structure for leadership and love that is desperately needed.
我们可以看出，虽然这是一段非常难讲、难理解的经文，但是这段经文也给我们建立了一个带领和爱的这个很好的结构，而这个结构是我们当今社会最缺乏的。
And even though it's a difficult passage, it gets down to the very essence of what we need to understand about the roles that God has given us.
虽然这是一段非常难理解的经文，但是这段经文也正好是讲到了神让我们怎么样来理解我们自己在婚姻中的角色的最基本点。
So let's jump into the passage.
那我们一起来看经文。
There's something very interesting about the way this passage starts in 5:22.
这个经文第五章二十一节开始的时候，有点特别。
In most translations, it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands."
在大部分的这个翻译中间说，妻子顺服你们的丈夫。
The interesting thing is that in that verse, the word "submit" doesn't exist.
但是有意思的是，在这段圣经里头，这个顺服这个词，本身并不是在原文里头。
It actually says, "Wives, to your husbands."
它只是说妻子。丈夫，这个顺服这个词要从上下文来理解。
But it's not that easy.
没那么容易。
Because from the context of what comes just before it, and in the verse that comes just after it, the word submit exists.
这段经文只是说妻子、丈夫，但是在这句圣经、这一节圣经之前和这节圣经之后，这个顺服这个词出现了。
So So we have to understand, what does this word mean? The Greek word is hypotasso or hupotasso. And if you look at it, the word actually means to arrange yourself underneath. But an important facet of this word is that it's not talking about the one who is above giving instruction to the one who's below. It's talking to the one who is below, encouraging them to do something to the one who is above.
这个非常重要的这个词的一个方面是这个词这个顺服的意思不是在说在上面的那个人来给下面的人发指令来要求提要求而是重点是在下面的人把自己摆在下面位置的那个人主动的去顺服
The energy behind this verse is not from the husband to the wife but the encouragement is to the wife towards the husband
所以、这个一个重点就是说 这句这个经文讲的不是侧重于丈夫对妻子从上对下而是强调是妻子鼓励这个妻子从下向上对丈夫的这种顺服的态度
And as we said before it's about the role that God has given to the wife
而这个最主要的是和神给妻子的角色有关
And in this role, the wife is supposed to arrange herself under that designated role that God has given the husband.
妻子要把自己放在神给她丈夫的那个角色之下，所以妻子就担当的是这个角色。
She's not supposed to arrange herself in her life separately from her husband.
她不是要把自己摆在一个位置啊，使她的生活跟丈夫没有什么关系。
And she's not supposed to arrange herself in opposition to her husband.
她也不是把自己摆在一个位置是跟丈夫相对的，不是无关的，也不是相对的，而是在之下。
Remember the examples that are in the passage before this.
也许大家还能记得，就是有一个例子，在这段经文之前有一个例子。
Jesus to the Father.
耶稣对他父神。
And the church to the Holy Spirit.
教会顺服。耶稣顺服父神，教会顺服基督。
Jesus didn't come
圣灵。
Jesus didn't come to the earth to do his own thing.
耶稣并不是来到这个世界上做他想要做的事。
But submitted himself to the plan of the Father for a death and resurrection.
他而是顺服在父神的旨意里，一直受死在十字架，一直到复活。
And we as a church are not to gather to do whatever we want to do.
同样，作为教会，我们也不是在这里聚集，想做我们想做的任何事情。
But are to arrange ourselves under God's word and the active Holy Spirit that is leading us and guiding us.
作为教会，我们要把自己摆在神的话语之下，圣灵带领之下，来成全神的国度和旨意。
In the marriage relationship, this is not about what the husband can demand.
在婚姻这个关系里头，这个不是在讲丈夫的要求。
And the problem is that this has been where so much of the abuse has happened, both inside and outside the church.
但是不幸的是，这是一个误解，这是一个被滥用的，认为妻子啊丈夫要求妻子，这个不管是在教会以内，在教会以外，这个错误的观点常常被滥用。
The focus is on the one who is choosing to submit.
所以这个重点是在下面那个他自己主动的选择要顺服。
So that's the what, now the why.
这个就是讲 what, 就是什么顺服。 接下来我要讲为什么要这样，为什么要顺服。
We have some choices to make about how much of this is about headship and how much of this is about arrangement and order.
我们要理解两个方面，一个方面是有关这个头啊，这个领导地位。另外一个呢，我们要理解这个秩序。
So.We're told that the wife is supposed to submit to the husband in the same way that the church submits to Christ.
我们，圣经告诉我们，妻子要顺服丈夫，就像教会顺服基督。
And before we get to the husband, before the husbands get all excited about what's happening with the submission, I'm going to get to you in just a few minutes, okay?
也许这个丈夫们好像听得很兴奋。
This relationship is talked about in terms of what's called headship.
这个关系呢，实际上跟有一个 headship, head 就是头啊，跟这个头，或者是跟领导的地位是有关的。
And the example of a body is given in this passage of how a body works.
然后用了身体这个比喻来描述这个身体是怎么样来运作的。
But because the head sits on top of the body, sometimes I think we can still be a little confused about what this passage means.
但是我们都知道这个头是在身体上是连在一起的，所以有时候来理解这个比喻啊，常常不是那么容易，常常也会有很多的误解。
Ephesians is not the only place where Paul began to address this topic using the terminology of headship.
其实，以弗所书并不是圣经中间唯一一卷书来用头和身体。
So as we look at kind of the companion letter to the Colossians, we can also get a little broader view.
所以我们如果去看他的这个伴侣书卷以弗所书的伴侣书卷是哥罗西书，我们能够看到平行的经文。
Interestingly, in Ephesians, Paul goes at kind of great length to describe this process.
有意思的是，在以弗所书里头，好像保罗用了很多的
But in Colossians, he only uses two verses.
但在哥罗西书，保罗只用了两句两节圣经。
Which leads me to ask kind of a funny context question.
这个也许这个使得我有时候会问一个有点这个奇怪的一个问题。
What was happening in Ephesus that this needed so many more verses that maybe wasn't happening in Colossians?
是不是有什么事情特别是发生在以弗所？所以保罗要用很多的经句来讲这个问题，而在哥罗西书可能没有这些事情，所以保罗只用两节经文来讲同样的问题。
And the difference between those two cities might help us understand a little bit of the contextual differences between two different cultures.
那也许这个两个城市之间的一些不同点能够来帮助我们来理解这个为什么这个。在两卷书里讲到婚姻的时候，有点不一样，篇幅有点不一样。
The two cities were only about 100 miles apart.
这两个城市其实也就是100英里，相距100英里。
But even in that, they were pretty different.
虽然很近，但是两个完全不一样的城市。
Ephesus was more of a cosmopolitan, much larger, much more international city.
以弗所是一个大城市，一个国际化的大城市。
And my guess is that because of that, their culture.Because it had kind of progressed beyond Colossae, that both men and women were serving in maybe some more different and equal roles than they were happening in Colossae.
那也许呢，就是因为以弗所是一个国际化的一个大城市，所以这个文化的发展会比较快一点，所以妇女的地位和角色和哥罗西妇女的。
And in Ephesus, there's a great chance that there was a more upward social mobility of wives than there was in some of the smaller cities back during that day.
So, in that time, it's very possible that Ephesus, that place, the women could, in the social progress of the movement, might be more vigorous compared to.
So, this idea of headship.Is Paul used it a lot of different times in the New Testament.
这个 有这个概念，保罗在新约里头啊很多地方都提到用到。
And it has at least two different ideas.
而这个头这个概念至少有两个方面的意思，至少有两个这两个方面的意思。
We have to decide, is it talking more about authority, or is it and or is it talking more about the source of something?
这个头到底指的是一个统治还是权威的概念呢？或者是这个头是这个出发点起源？那也许是两个意思都有。
Colossians 2 very clearly talks about this use of headship in the idea of some realm of authority.
在哥罗西书第二章用这个头这个概念，非常清楚的是讲是最高的。
But also in Colossians 2, he talks about this idea of headship as being the source of growth and nourishment for the whole body.
但是同时也在哥罗西书的第二章，这个头这个词在用的，表达的意思是头是这个起源，然后全身一起来合作，来一起来运行，来工作。
So how does this work itself out in terms of the example for the body that we're given?
这个头这个用这个头这个概念这个词是怎么样来描述在那个婚姻里头的关系呢？
We cannot say for certain that just because the head is on the top that it can run independently from the rest of the body.
所以非常清楚，我们不能说因为头是在身体之上，所以头的运作跟身体的其他部分完全独立不相关。
Now I'm reminded of another Chinese saying.
这个提醒我，这是中国的谚语。
丈夫是头。
丈夫是头。
妻子是脖子。
妻子是脖子。
脖子转头。
脖子转头。
Right. I'm not sure that's all correct, but it does show the interrelationship of what happens in the body.
我不知道这个讲法是不是完全是正确的，但是在某方面也是来表示了头和身体之间的彼此相关共存。
But there's an interdependence that is happening.
是有这个彼此共存的这样的一个意思在里头。
The brain sends the impulse and even expects a response, but it needs the blood to stay alive.
这个脑子头啊，是送一个脉冲给身体给心，然后需要通过这个血液来来投入到行动。
Likewise, the heart pumps the blood that is vital for every organ, but it needs the impulse from the brain to know what to do.
从另一方面来看，这个心脏它是来输送血液，来使得全身各个功能都能够工作，但是它需要脑子。
So both of them need to work together, and this is true about the husband and the wife.
所以这个头和身体、脑子和心脏需要一起来工作。那这个比喻呢，其实同样也适合妻子和丈夫。
We need to understand that this is a term of that submission is a term not of of independence, but of interdependence.
我们必须要理解的一点就是这个顺服。并不是独立的，而是相关的。
So whatever it means, we know that it doesn't mean that the head gets to rule without recourse.
不管你怎么样的理解，我们一定要很清楚的一点，就是这个讲的这个顺服，并不是说这个头在征服这个身体，没有任何条件，不是这样。
But more so that it's rather to order the action to keep the family moving towards the agreed upon.
定一种次序，来一个行动的指令，让这个家庭，让这个婚姻能够达到预定的目标。
So how does this affect the roles and the teaching on our marriage?
那刚才这个比喻怎么样来帮助我们来理解婚姻关系？怎么样来帮助我们来教导婚姻关系，妻子和妻子的顺服呢？
First off, the discussion of order is about roles of individuals that have come together, a husband and wife that have come together to create something brand new. Because without order, we end up with chaos. For the New Testament gathering, the ecclesia, the church, Christ is the head of the church, and we are seen as his bride.
在新约教会的聚集。
But even in this relationship, Christ is seen as the authority. But participation in the church is still the choice of the individual. And it's up to me as a member of the church to arrange myself underneath the authority and the source of that authority so that I can continue to grow as a believer and make contributions to the body. So how does the wife submit to the husband? We have to answer the question, the first question, how did Jesus submit to the Father? He did it in full obedience to God and in deference to his will. He did it without diminishing the equality of his own personhood in his relationship to God. Jesus understood that he had different roles of God the Father. But sometimes he even limited his own understanding, like when he would return again, he said only the Father knows. Before we answer how the wife should be submissive to the husband, we have to answer the question, how is the church submit to God? And the church does that in deference to Christ's authority. But we do it in some ways with a freedom of expression and preference and opinion. The church submits to Christ through open participation, not because of his compulsion. And in differing, we do so in differing giftedness and personality and differing desires. And even our participation in the church comes with differing roles. In the same way, even maybe more literally, the husband and wife are bringing two worlds into one. And God has chosen to provide an order to make sure that things work well. One big difference is husband's not always perfect like Christ is for the church. And the best choice because of that is to seek the input of his partner in life to make sure that the decisions that are being made are actually the right decisions. So in light of all of this, how do we answer the question, how should a wife submit to her husband? The first is with thoughtfulness from both sides. Because we've become one new family. To submit to the husband's role that is given by God, recognizing that he's an imperfect person. The wife should submit with an understanding that there's a freedom of expression, a freedom of preference, and a freedom of opinion. She's not a robot. She should submit with the idea that there's open participation. It's not under compulsion from the husband. She should submit knowing that there's ways to do that with different giftedness, different personality, and even different desires. And that there's different roles and responsibilities that both of them will have as they seek to fulfill their calling. And it says submitting in everything. That's the hard part. But more than meaning each individual thing, submitting in everything is a lifestyle of submitting to the husband. For us, sometimes this still feels constraining. But for the context in which this was written, this passage actually could provide lots of freedom. In the context it was written, it provided freedom from women that had to somehow serve under this whole patriarchal type of culture to say you're only responsible for submitting to your own husband. And for many of them, it allowed the freedom to create a new family, realizing that for the wife, she wasn't adding the husband as someone else to submit to. ultimately the husband, God has given the role of the husband to be responsible. So how are the husbands supposed to treat their wives? Says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Paul could have chosen one of three different words for love, but he chose the one that was most difficult. This word agape or agapao denotes this kind of love that is ongoing and it's unattached from merit. It's an unconditional love that God has for us. So how did Christ love the church? Because this is the example. Christ loved the church sacrificially. Christ loved the church willingly. Christ loved the church regardless of the response of the church. He loves the church continually. Loves the church completely. This is the example that he gives husbands as to how to love the church, how to love their wife. So we love our wives sacrificially as part of the whole purpose of our lives. We love our wives more than our careers. We love our wives more than our hobbies. We love our wives more than we love ourselves. We nourish and we cherish. And we lovingly hold our family to the goals that God has placed before us for our purpose as a family. We love our wives in this way willingly, not because we're told to. We love our wives regardless of our wives' response. We love our wives continually. And we love our wives completely. Verse 28 says, he who loves his wife loves himself. And I don't know about your own experience, but I cannot outlove my wife.
Enough.
Every time I love my wife more, she loves me back more than that. When I cherish her, it provides the ability for her to
submit.
The hardest part, I think, it says that the husband is supposed to give himself over in the love of his wife. Same way that Christ gave himself up for the church. It's common in our culture to get this a little bit backwards. I confess, standing here with my wife out of town, that sometimes I say, if you will respect me, I will love you more. God is saying that if I love you more, then she will find it so much more easy to respect
you.
And this too is modeled by God himself, is that he loved us while we were yet sinners. The last thing I want to instruct this morning is just in the very end. I don't know what your translation says, but in the Greek, it says that wives should fear their husbands. But in the same way, it talks about how we should fear the Lord. This kind of fear is a term that should govern our approach to God in his innate authority and mercy. God, in his judgment, could be harsh, but instead chose to be merciful. And so we reverence him because of that. And in the same way, and oftentimes in a male-dominated society, husbands have chosen to be harsh and fierce with their wives. And God is calling us to be different as husbands. And in response, he's asking the wives to have reverence for their husbands because of that difference. Here's a chart that helps summarize this passage. Both the one before this one and the one that we'll talk about next week. That there's a relationship that happens between submission and love. We submit to the Holy Spirit, and we are able with other brothers and sisters in Christ to walk in love. In the congregation, we submit to one another, meaning be open to the influence of one another, and we can have love for one
another.
Husbands need to first submit to Christ, and then as we do that in a manner, we can be loving towards other people. We do so in a manner that Christ loved the church.
Right. 丈夫首先要顺服基督, 这样的话呢,
wives submit to their husbands to arrange themselves under and be willing to be influenced under that role, the husbands are also commanded to love their wives.
当妻子把自己顺服丈夫，就是把自己放在神给我们设定的一个地位，在丈夫之下，那丈夫就能够爱他们的妻子。
Can I challenge us to enter into this cycle of submission and love, at the place where God has made it most clear to us?First, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in our marriages more than any other place.
首先，我们要被圣灵充满，在我们婚姻关系中间，可能比其他任何事情更需要圣灵来充满。
If we're not submitting to God, it's impossible to submit to one another.
因为如果我们不顺服神的话，我们不可能做到彼此顺服。
We can believe that this is actually one of the secrets.Let me end with this phrase. By giving order and roles to marriage, he's not trying to make your marriage harder.
神设立了这个婚姻，然后用这样的教导给我们，他并不是想让婚姻变得更加艰难。
By giving us roles of submission and love, God is trying to make our marriages better.
神给了我们不同的角色，让我们顺服。他不是为了让婚姻变得更加困难，是为了让婚姻变得更好。
Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this sometimes difficult teaching, but we can trust that in your sovereignty and what you have demonstrated.